I really appreciate that. Feeling kind of tired, come to church and people give that kind of reception. I really thank the Lord for it. You can be seated. It's been another hot day. It's about time for the weather to make a change. Everything should be making a change about now. Weather should start toward a hot weather, start toward a change. That will make things a little better. It's too cold in the winter, it's too hot in the summer. In this world, things aren't ever right. You never find anything right in this world. I've searched through my lifetime, and I have never found anything right in this life. There's always something wrong with it, something don't fit right, something don't work right. But there's a world that is just a dimension away to those that's able to understand, and I use the terms dimension because there has to be some terms of communication in the sense of intellectual reasoning, and the nearest thing to it in human terminology to express that other world or how to reach it is just a dimension away. So then just a dimension away, there's another world. And we can be part of it, we can tap onto it, or we can stay in this world. You know, the beauty, the real beauty of Jesus was that he had no desire for this life. No communications with this life in the sense of desire or trying to obtain anything. He just had no interest in this life, nor the things of this life. His major interest was in the Heavenly Father's will and in pleasing God in every way and in obtaining unto that which the Lord had for him. And he was interested in man's soul's welfare. And that was it. He never married. He never had children. He never sought a home. He never sought an automobile or land, houses. He never sought to have money nor prestige nor popularity. I just didn't have any interest in this world. He came for one purpose, and that was to deny the flesh, to completely evade the issue when it comes to this world and this world's good and the human being, and just to be a spirit to walk in this earth. And that's what I long to do. I do many things. I have many ambitions. That is to try to do something for Jesus, to not just sit around, twiddle my thumbs, as we say, and be idle. But I have an interest in doing something for Christ. Many things, many ventures, many avenues of thoughts, many outlets, but I don't have any interest in any of them other than doing something for Christ. And often thought it would have been so nice, you know, in this world to have been exactly like him in every respect. Well, we're back at church again tonight to talk about Jesus. Come to church for one principal reason, and that's to talk about Jesus. No other reason at all. Many things that we talk about that has to do with Jesus, but our principal interest is to talk about Jesus. So we come here to talk about Jesus, and over, we say the same things. That is, we love Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Wonderful is Jesus. Everything is to praise Jesus. Everything is to learn more about Jesus. You know, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's so many things to do in the world. There's such a great variety. Don't you just get tired of being hung up on one thing, of just talking about the same thing over and over? No, I really don't. I never have. It's never grown boring to me. I've never felt bad about it. I've never felt like that is the wrong thing to do. I've never felt a disinterest. To talk about Jesus in the morning is thrilling to me. To talk about Jesus in the noonday is thrilling to me. To talk about Jesus in the evening is a real desire of my heart, and to talk about Jesus if I wake up during the night. It's a thrill to me to dream about Jesus is the thing that I desire. So, just to have Jesus on my mind. Brother Walker used to sing the song, "When you see me coming, I've got him on my mind. If you meet me in the morning, I've got Jesus on my mind. At the noonday, I've got Jesus on my mind. In the evening, I've had Jesus on my mind. When I lay down at night, I've got Jesus on my mind. When I wake up during the night, I've got Jesus on my mind. When I wake up the first thing in the morning, I've got Jesus on my mind." So, we come to church again, to come to sing, to praise God, to think about Jesus, to learn more about Jesus, and to learn about the wonderful broadness and the great scope of His world, and the great things of His world. Some people, they get disinterested in coming to church, and after a while, they get burnt out on it, as they call it. And they say, "I'm tired of going to church, you know." That's because they never have seen anything. Could you really get burnt out if in the natural somebody said, "Come over here today, I want to show you a diamond mine, and it is one of the richest of its kind, and it all belongs to you. I'd like for you to see it." And then the next day they say, "I'd like for you to go with me. I want you to see a gold mine. It's all yours. It's one of the richest of its kind." And the next day they said, "Let's go over here. We've got a pearl. It's the priceless pearl. And it's all yours." Couldn't you just see yourself getting burnt out and saying, "I'm tired. I don't want to go see that gold mine, that diamond mine, and that beautiful pearl"? Couldn't you just see yourself doing that? See, that's the way this is to me. Jesus, what is Jesus? He's the pearl of great price. The Bible said if you ever see Him one time, catch a glimpse of Him, you'll sell all that you got, your ambition, your desire, your career, all of your endeavors will turn to Jesus. Jesus, what is Jesus? He's more purer than the finest gold that's ever been tried in the fire. He's more brilliant than the great, wonderful radiance of the most priceless diamond there is. Jesus outshines them all. Jesus is everything. Jesus, somebody would say, "Brother Pike, you mean that Jesus is greater than a diamond, greater than a pearl?" Jesus is what thought it into existence. He didn't think a diamond into existence for His sake. He thought it into existence for your sake. He thought the pearl into existence for your purpose and your sake. He created the little oyster that makes the pearl just so that you could have a good time. He has no interest in it whatsoever. It means nothing to Him other than it's just the act of creation of just one of those things that He does in His daily activities. That is, bless people and make people happy and create things for the children to play with and enjoy. So then what is a diamond? About the nearest thing, we say a piece of glass. And what is a great piece of gold? Nothing but a hunk of metal. And what is a pearl? It's nothing but just some sand that has caused a lot of problem to the little thing that, you know, that wove the beautiful rainbow around it, as we would say. So really, it's nothing. Get it all together, throw it away, it's nothing. It's nothing. Throw it in the fire is nothing. See, what is money? Nothing. Throw it in the fire, let it burn up, is nothing. It just goes to ashes, it's nothing. What is prestige? It's nothing. Being famous is nothing. Having prestige is nothing. What is having talents? Nothing. Nothing. What is being beautiful? Nothing. What is being handsome? Nothing. What is this world? Nothing. Nothing. Somebody said, "Well, what do you think the Bible definition of it is?" Beggarly elements. God said, "I've delivered you from those things where it looks like you desire to be in bondage to them things again by giving your mind to it." And I'm speaking today of one thing, you know. That is this. Rather than a man owning an automobile, the automobile owns him. Rather than a man owning money, the money owns him. Rather than a man owning the things of this world, the things of this world own him. And it would be so wonderful if we could come to the place to think like Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to realize that the world is nothing but a heap of junk unless it is in the form of the creation that God made it to please, to excite, to thrill your heart. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of junk that'll be burned up, turned into ashes, including your bones and your eyes and your body and the hair that you pamper on your head, and the clothes that you're so thrilled and carried away with, that your best garments, all of it is just a bunch of junk to be burnt up. See, so then what is worthwhile? Jesus. We're right back where we started. In the beginning was Jesus, and what was there before Jesus? There wasn't anything. What was there before Jesus? Nothing. Because he is before all things. And then the question arises, where is his beginning? There is none. He never had a beginning. You know, I say this so often, in this world, everything has a beginning. And, of course, if it has a beginning, it has an end. And even though it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, it doesn't say that was the beginning. It didn't say that he had a beginning. It just says, in the beginning. And I say again, the beginning means your beginning, the world's beginning, where everything, materialistically speaking, got its start, come into focus, in the beginning of the act of creation. In the beginning. Not the beginning of God, because God has no beginning. God has no end. So it's not in the beginning with God, it's in the beginning with you and I. In the beginning of what God did. So in the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word created all things, including you and I. All things, the Bible said, was made by him, and for his pleasure were they created. And without him, nothing was made that is made. So when you think about the things of this world without Jesus, it's nothing but Satan on the rampage, and it's nothing but the love of the world and the lust of the flesh and beggarly elements that'll pass away. But when you think of the world on the basis of being one with Christ, one with the Heavenly Father, and being eternal, having eternal health, happiness, beauty, youth, strength, power, magnificence, riches, glory, and honor, think of it on those terms, then it is a great, wonderful, priceless inheritance, in that all things belong unto me, and I belong unto him. The world belongs to me. Everything belongs to me. All of the birds belong to me. All of the trees belong to me. All of the rivers and all of the oceans belong to me. Life belongs to me. Youth belongs to me. Health belongs to me. Happiness belongs to me. Talent, inspiration belongs to me. All of it belongs to me. And I belong to him. And without him, there is nothing. With him, there is everything. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to understand. And it's sad to look around and see people, babies, little toddling babies, you know, and they're all hung up, as the world says, on all kinds of things. And this one has his new car, and this one has his new home, and this one has his new garment, and this one has his money in the bank, and this one has his little piece of land. One with a house, and one with a dollar, and one with a curl, and one with a pretty face, and one with a garment, and all of it moth-eaten. And yet the world is hung up on that. Today it's here and tomorrow it's gone. The new car, it's beautiful today, and tomorrow it's an old junker. That is in a few days. And the pretty face today, it's here, and tomorrow it's all withered up like a prune. And everything is nice and pretty and rich, and the money is here. And then the Bible said riches make themselves wings and fly away, and then they're gone. And there's no remembrance and prestige, you know. You're great, something today, and then after tomorrow, a few days pass, they throw the dirt in your face, and you're just one that's in the records of history as being that that's passed on. So then what are you? Dust. Nothing more than the dust. Just a little bit of dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. You are nothing. Your first life is nothing. Your first body is nothing. All that you are in your first inheritance is nothing but a total loss. So that unless you're born again, you cancel out as nothing. All of your bodily exercises to build your body and your physique, to make everything pretty and nice, pleasing to the eye, the Bible said, profiteth little. It is nothing. Nothing. So then when Paul summed up the whole matter and he thought about himself, he said, I'm less than nothing. Not only nothing, he said, but I'm less than nothing. So then when you think about you, you're less than nothing. And I think about me, I'm less than nothing. So then, you being less than nothing and I being less than nothing, that doesn't even bring anything into existence, does it? If the world in all of its splendor and magnificence is nothing, then that means you and I have never obtained anything. We're less than nothing. We're just nothing. Less than nothing in the sight of God. So then we hope that God will be in remembrance of us. We hope that God will think upon us. We hope that we'll find that new birth and that we'll get above all of this ambition of pretty faces and self-adorning and all of this foolishness of worldly prestige and all of this nothing, that we'll be able to rise above it by a new birth into a new dimension, into a new world, to where we really will be something. That's what we're looking for. To be something, you have to become nothing in this world. Less than nothing in this world. To be important in that world, you must become unimportant in this world. The Bible said, take those that are at least esteemed in the world out there, and those are the ones that I'll use in my work. For if they are esteemed out there, then the Bible said they are abomination in my sight. If you find any kind of favoritism with men out there, then you know the world loves its own. It means you're of the world and you're nothing. God can't use you. But in the event the world doesn't want you, and you become a rejected stone, and you begin to try to obtain unto the true riches, the true life, the true God, then you become something. You become of importance to God. You are esteemed. And the Bible said, take those people and set them over the affairs of Christ Jesus and over the matters of God. They that are least esteemed in the world said, these are the ones that I need to run my business. So if you feel important, and if you think that you're important, and if you're praised by them of the world, or if you have any importance out there, then you are exiled from God and you have no importance with God. He doesn't need you for his business. Your mind is carnal, and all you could do is just wreck things and cause him problems. But if they don't need you out there, and they don't consider you anything out there, and they don't love you out there, then you know that you're not of the world, and God has a place for you. If you can't be successful out there, then you can be successful in Christ. But if you're going to be successful out there, you can never be successful in Christ. Because darkness and light doth not mix. Good and evil cannot walk along together. And darkness and light don't fellowship one another. They just don't fellowship. You're either in darkness of intellectual wandering, or you are in light by the great transformation of your mind into this marvelous kingdom of God. Whatever you are, that's what you are by your thinking. I spoke this morning concerning some vain thoughts, vain thinking, as to what vain thoughts are and vain thinking. Talked to you some tonight. I had thought about getting somebody else to minister. Already thought it over and had it in my mind. But feel that the Lord wants you to minister. Thank you, friend. Talk about some things of God. Speaking Psalms 148, speaking from this, we get an idea here how that we should keep our minds on Jesus. Here is some thoughts, thinking about Jesus. Keeping him on our mind. Do we overdo it? Do we overdo it when we praise Jesus? Do we overdo it? Do we overdo it when we think about Jesus? Do we? Okay. In Psalms 148, it starts off, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowls, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maiden, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. See, right here we turn right to something where we are told to praise him. Praise him. The Bible goes on to point out that we should praise him. Praise him in every way. Praise him for everything. Praise the Lord, O my soul, David said, and forget not all of the benefits of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we come to church to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise, his doors with thanksgiving and praise. We come to praise the Lord. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, where is this God? Where is this thing that we praise? I don't see anything to praise. I get tired and weary, you know. I lose my strength. I lose my ego just to praise, praise, praise. But oh, beloved friend, if you got one tiny little glimpse of the radiance, of the glory, of the wonderful, unexpressible glory and excellency of the Son of God, you would praise him until there was no more life within your body. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, how is it that around the throne, these four beasts, they praise him day and night? They never stop saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Somebody said, now let's don't be a fanatic. But they just go right on praising. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. John said, I heard them in heaven saying, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I heard them in the earth saying, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I heard 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels saying, Holy, holy, praise the Lord. I heard them in the earth and below the earth saying, Holy, holy, praise the Lord. See, if you could just one time see God in the sense of his glory, just a little bit of his magnificence, you would never quit praising him. There would be something on the inside of you that would never quit praising him. Did you know I've caught one little glimpse of him in a born-again experience? And did you know since that time my soul has never ceased to say, Holy, glory to God, praise his lovely name. Day and night my soul cries out praise unto God. He is so beautiful. He is so wonderful. He is so excelling. The excellency of him is so great until to catch one tiny glimpse of him would be so alluring and so drawing and so fascinating and would just cause you to completely explode so far as your self-ability to keep your composure through life. One tiny glimpse of him would just cause you to completely explode. And did you know that just one tiny expose of God and there'd be no more world? Did you know there'd be no more you? There'd be no more me. His glory is so great that Revelation records it that if he just exposes himself one time, no more mountains, no more sea, no more human beings, no more sky, no more heaven, no more nothing. His glory is so great, so wonderful, so excelling that it turns everything that it meets into his glory and into his praise and magnificence, or else it ceased to be. It completely eradicates. You know, it's so wonderful to be a Christian and praise God. David, a man after God's own heart, he got into a stream of this, and he realized this wonderful thing. A few days ago, down in Mexico, we went in at the first of the service, and the anointing of God fell, and the praises of the Lord went up. And we begin to speak in tongues and praise God and prophesy. And I don't know how long it went on. As a matter of fact, Bill was playing the tape back today. It's the first time I've heard it. But it went on and on and on and on. It went on a long, long time. So far as praises is concerned, so far as loving God is concerned, the anointing of God was great and mighty through the whole thing. Just wonderful, wonderful. It just went on and it went on. and it went on. You know what it was? It was God. It was the moving of the Spirit. I want Bill to do something tonight. In our services, we're original. We do what we feel to do. And that I can tell that some of you are of the opinion that we're exaggerating. I want Bill, since we're talking about praise and the things of God, I want him to take that tape, and I want him to bring it over there where Chuck is, and I want him to turn it out on these speakers. Can you do that, Chuck? Turn down on these speakers, and I want you to hear some of what we're talking about here. He doesn't have to play the sermon that we preach down there. We can talk to you here. But I'd like for him to turn a little bit of it out here to where you can hear it and see that those people's hearts are hungry and that there we praise the Lord. And what happens when you just catch a tiny glimpse of what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is telling us? Not a lot of places, they just play tapes for the services. Here we believe in live preaching. But nevertheless, it's good to have a tape or a little something once in a while from the field just to show you what we're talking about, like reading a letter, you know. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. Just lift your hands and let's love the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Uramandurama Shandrama Sandriya Taramandramu Shandriandramu Sai. Ulamandaramandaraba Shandriandramu Sandramanayo.
Hallelujah, ahorita mismo Jesús, aleluya. Sana ahorita mismo, aleluya. Ahorita mismo, Señor, bendícelo, Señor. Aleluya, sintemos tu presencia, ahorita. Aleluya, aleluya, aleluya. Ahora, Dios mío, aleluya. En el nombre de Jesús, aleluya. En el nombre de Jesús, aleluya. Ahorita mismo, Señor. Aleluya, aleluya. Ahorita mismo, Señor. Aleluya, en el nombre de aleluya, este unción. Padre, sana ahorita. Sana, quebra el yugo, Señor. Aleluya. Que la presencia de Dios venga, aleluya. Aleluya, aleluya, aleluya.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight, I feel your presence, Father, through the lovely name of your darling Son, the resurrected one. Father, for thou art resurrected from the dead and thou art in the midst of thy people. Uramandurama Shandriya Taramandramanaya Uramandriya Sandramu Shandriya
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may every yoke be broken. Father, may the power of your deliverance be here tonight, Father. God, to heal and God, to save and God, to forgive. Oh, Lord, may the yokes be broken. Grant your blessings tonight. Oh, it's by your Spirit, Father. It's by your wonderful Spirit. Send forth thy Spirit, the wonderfulness of thy Spirit in the outpouring of Calvary. Let him that is athirst come tonight, Father, and let the waters of life flow freely tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Uramandu Ramanaya. Uramandu Riyandu Ramosandu Riyandu Ramanaya. Uramariyandu Ramasaya. Uramandu Ramasandu Riyatu Ramaraya. Uramandu Riyandu Ramosandu Riyandu Ramasandu Ramosai. Hallelujah. Father, in your wonderful name tonight, God, I can hear you speaking from heaven concerning this people. Uramandu Ramanaya. Uramandu Riyandu Ramasandu Riyandu. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, as I feel your presence and your anointing tonight, moved by your Spirit in your wonderful presence. God, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, move by your Spirit tonight. Hallelujah, move by your presence tonight, Jesus. God, let your Spirit be here tonight. Let your presence be here tonight. Father, to stretch forth your hand of healing tonight. To stretch forth your hand of healing tonight. May these people be healed tonight. May they be delivered tonight. May the power of God be here tonight. Oh, God, I feel you healing tonight. Under the most shambly animal. Giving thee glory and honor and praise tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Looking unto thee tonight, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, yea, I say unto thee that I am concerned about my people. Yea, I say unto thee that my Spirit is among my people. Yea, I say unto thee tonight that my presence is with my people. I'm concerned about my people. I'm concerned about the people of Mexico. My heart is broken, saith the Lord, when I see the sorrow and the heartaches and the misery. And I see the problems, and I see the hunger, and I see the thirst, and I see my people being neglected. Yea, I am concerned about the sheep of my pastor. Yea, I'm looking for the sheep of my pastor. I'm searching, says the Lord, because of the sheep of my pastor. My heart is bleeding and my heart is broken because I am looking. Hey, where are the lambs? Where are those that would feed my sheep and those that would search out the sheep of my pastor? Where are those that would pray and moan for me that I might hear, that I might come to my people, and that my people might be fed? Yea, my hand is stretched out across the world tonight, and my hand is stretched out across Mexico tonight to my people. Yea, canst thou hear me tonight as I call unto my people? For I am concerned about my people. Yea, my heart is bleeding and my heart is broken tonight, saith the Lord, because of my people and the sheep of my pastor, and the negligence of those that are supposed to feed my sheep. Where are my pastors tonight? Where are my leaders tonight? Where are those tonight that I've called to feed the sheep of my pastor? Oh, where are those that I've looked to, those that I've called to, those that I've asked to do my bidding? Where are they tonight, saith the Lord, the sheep of my pastor? They are hungry tonight. They are thirsty tonight. They're looking tonight for help. They're searching tonight, waiting for the wonderful moving of the Spirit and the outpouring of my Spirit. And yea, I say unto thee tonight, the Spirit of God is nigh thee. The Spirit of God is among thee. Yea, I say unto thee tonight, if thou canst, thou wilt, thou canst tonight drink of the wonderful waters that come to thee freely. If you have no money, then the Lord is said to come. He that is poor, let him come. He that hath nothing, let him come. He that has sinned against the Lord, let him repent and come to the waters. Oh, he that is thirsty, let him come. I, the Lord, have given freely to all men, and I was holding nothing from thee. I, the Lord, have called unto thee tonight that I might bring thee closer into the wonderful things of God, and that I might anoint thee tonight, and that I might bless thee tonight. Yea, the Lord has come unto thee. Yea, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is among thee. I shall move. Yea, I shall move, saith the Lord, and the waters shall be deep, and the fountains shall overflow, and the dams cannot contain the waters, for they shall rise above the dam and overflow and spread through the desert areas. And those that are thirsty, and those that are hungry, and those that are needy shall be filled and shall be fed. Yea, and I shall bring blessing and prosperity to my people, saith the Lord. I say unto thee tonight that I am amongst thee. I have heard thy prayers, I have heard thy pleading, and the days of misery, and the dry places, and yea, I come to loose thee, saith the Lord. I come to set thee free tonight, that thou mightest have the blessings of God and ride upon the high places of the earth. Yea, I say unto thee, I am the God of Jacob and the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac, and I come to thee tonight, that thou mightest hear my voice, and if thou couldst hear, yea, he that hath the Spirit of hearing, he that hath the Spirit of understanding, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches tonight. I come unto thee to bless thee. I come unto thee to loose thy bondage. I come unto thee to bring thee out of thy prison. I come to thee to bring thee out of thy graves. Yeah, I come to thee to resurrect thee in the greatness and newness of life tonight. I come to thee in the power of the anointing of the resurrected Son of God, he that I raised up from the dead. I am among thee tonight, yea, to bless thee tonight. I am among thee tonight. I've come to thee tonight to do something special for thee. Canst thou hear me tonight? Canst thou hear my voice? For everyone that's in the grave that hears my voice shall come forth tonight to the power of the resurrection. Yea, I, the Lord, have spoken it tonight, and I will keep my word. I will work among thee, and I will do great mighty signs and wonders and miracles in thy midst, that thou mightest believe, that thou mightest come forth in the presence of God and have this wonderful blessing that God has intended from thee, for thee, even from the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
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 Can you lift your hands and say hallelujah? Can you praise the Lord tonight?
Hallelujah.
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 Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we praise thee tonight. We give thee glory tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus.
Santo, hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory to your wonderful name.
Gloria a tu nombre.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.
Gloria a Dios, hallelujah.
The Lord thy God is a merciful God.
El Dios tu Dios es un Dios misericordioso.
He will not forsake thee.
Yo percibo él.
Neither destroy thee.
El que te destruye a ti.
Oh, forget the covenant of thy fathers.
Que cual le habló con el pacto de
which
tus
he
padres,
swear unto them.
Que ellos, yo les juré a ellos.
Or ask now of the days that are past.
Y digan de los días que están pasados.
Which were before me.
Que fueron antes de mí.
Since the day that God created man upon the earth.
Desde Dios que hizo a los hombres en la tierra.
And asked from the one side of heaven unto the other.
Y les dijo de un lado de los partes de los cielos al otro.
Whether there hath been any such thing.
Y que no había una tal cosa.
As this great thing.
Como esta grande cosa.
It or hath been heard like it.
Que sea oído ha sido algo como esto.
Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire?
¿Ha oído gente que ha oído la voz de que sale del fuego?
As
del...
thou hast heard and lived.
¿Y ha usted escuchado y ha vivido?
Can you say hallelujah?
¿Puede decir aleluya?
Can you say hallelujah?
¿Puede decir aleluya?
Glory! Hallelujah!
Glory! Hallelujah!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Praise be to God!
Hallelujah!
Let's love the Lord tonight.
Vamos a amar al Señor esta
noche.
Gloria.
God is so good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord.
Señor. Hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to his wonderful name.
Glory
to his wonderful name.
Hallelujah.
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 Let's clap our hands for the Lord.
Clap our hands for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, Signore.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory.
Glory, Signore.
Praise the wonderful name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the wonderful name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Gloria sea el nombre.
Hallelujah.
Now then, you can see that I wasn't exaggerating about the people praising the Lord. The Lord was moving. The Lord was blessing us. And we was having a good time in the Lord because the people had the right kind of mind. As I said this morning, their thoughts were right. They had the right desire. They did not have their minds on the material side of life because they don't have much material side of life to get interested in. There were people that were needy. There were people that were hungry. And as soon as they perceived something was there in the Spirit of the Lord, then they begin to get right into it. And as they begin to get right into it, then God began to mightily anoint and mightily bless the people. This is what we should do here. We get out on the fields and the Lord begins to move and we praise the Lord and we get into the wonderful praises of God. We come home to Bethlehem and the people have got so complacent and so concerned about the materialistic side of life and so unconcerned about God and the spiritual things until the whole thing just seems to be a failure. See, and that's not what God is wanting. God is wanting us to praise Him. We come into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. We come in here to love and to worship God. Are we interested in faces? Are we interested in physiques? Are we interested in money? Are we interested in land and houses? Are we interested in position? Are we interested in each other? Are we interested in what we can get out of religion in the sense of financial gain? Or are we interested in the God of heaven and our soul's welfare and eternal life and the wonderful world that is to come? What are we interested in? What are we doing with religion? Why do we come to church? What's our purpose of coming to church? What is it all about? Why do we do that? See, that's the thing that we need to get straight, folks. We need to decide what we are wanting to do and what we are coming to the house of God for and what this thing is all about. We need to decide what we're doing. Why are we coming? Who are we? What do we intend? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to prove? See, what's our purpose in coming to the house of God? To be entertained, to hear somebody sing, to hear somebody say something, you know, that will sound good, or to do something that we might hear our favorite entertainer? Or what are we coming to the house of God for?
You know, I've got one thought in mind, and that's to be like Jesus. One thought in mind, that's to learn more about God, to be more like God, and to know more about the world to come, and know more about the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, the wonderful things that are hid away in the Spirit. To become more spiritual and more stronger in God and more interested in heavenly things. That's my goal and ultimate of life. So then if that's not your ultimatum in life, then you need to change around. You need to get straight. You need to find out what the Lord is doing in your life, what your desire is, and what you feel that your purpose in life is. Why do you come to the house of God? Why do you say that you are a Christian? Why do you go about trying to talk about things that pertain to godliness? What is your motive? What is your purpose in it? What do you hope to accomplish? You know, religion today is one big game with people. I watch the evangelists and they're so silly in what they do. I watch preachers and they're so silly in what they do. I watch church members and they're so silly in what they do. And I think about what the Bible speaks of. Silly women. You get a preacher up here, and he wants to be some kind of playboy, and he wants to be spectacular, and he wants to captivate the people's attention. So he starts laying hands on people and shoving people around and trying to sing a song and get everybody's attention. It's some kind of show, you know. Some kind of a show that you go to. It's not anything about God. No sincerity, no depths, no godliness, no praying, no fasting, no searching out anything to try to advance in the kingdom of God or the knowledge of God or to bring the people into another world or another understanding. It's just that they want to be some kind of a person that's an evangelist that prays for the sick and be some kind of flashy person that'll get a write-up in the paper. To me, that's silly. That is what the Bible refers to as silly people. See, they go to church, they have their formalities, they have the ritualistics. One counts beads, another does another thing, and they go through a ritualistic over and over and over. But to really be God-like, to really be God-concerned, to be the kind of a person that wants to know more about the Bible and more about spiritual things and get into the depths of the Spirit, or to learn about heaven and learn about the other world, they're not interested in that. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They're not interested in hearing what you got to say about it. See, now to me that's a silly congregation. They come to church to collect money so that they can carry on their program or build bigger buildings or to have a bigger financial prosperity in the church in the sense of their treasure. To me, that's silly people. The purpose of coming to the house of God is being a Christian and learning more about God and learning to be more Christ-like and to try to be more like Jesus than you have the day before. If I come to church tonight, I want to learn more about God. I want to be more like the Lord. I want to be more like God tonight than I was yesterday. And I want to learn enough tonight that I can be more like God tomorrow than I was the day before. That's my purpose. My purpose is not coming to see you and you and you and you and see who's the prettiest here and who's the nicest here and who's the most handsome here and who's got all the finest clothes here. My purpose in coming to God's house is not to get together in some silly game where I preach to you and somebody says, well, I wonder if he's anointed, I wonder if he ain't anointed, I wonder what we're going to hear tonight. You know, to come to God's house, to sit here in some manner like this just to go through some silly ritualistic or routine, that's not my purpose in coming to the house of God. That's why a lot of times I get grieved, and a lot of times I leave, and a lot of times I go off to the field, and I go somewhere else. Because we get in a silly ritualistic here at Bethlehem a lot of times of just coming to church and being nice and saying, we don't want to offend the preacher. We want to go there and we want to sit real nice and quiet and listen to what he's got to say. And to me, that's silly. I didn't come here for that. You shouldn't come here for that. I come to church because I love God. I come to church because this is God's house. I come to church because I come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. If I didn't think God was in this place, and if I didn't think God would meet me in this place, I wouldn't come into this place. I come here to meet God. I don't come here to see you, or for you to see me, or for me to be nice to you, or you be nice to me. I don't come here to see how much money I can get to carry on my program, to see if I can buy the boat and buy the plane and pay for the church. I don't come here for that purpose. I come here to try to worship God and to love God and to let God know that I love Him. I want Him to love me and I want to be clean and holy. And I want Him to notice me and I want to notice Him. I come here to tell you all about the wonderful things of Jesus and how that you should love Him in every day of your life, how you should grow closer to Him and be more and more like Jesus. I come here for that purpose, that I might explain to you in detail the revelation of Jesus Christ. As God breaks it to my mind and my spirit, I want to break it to your mind and spirit. But I don't like to come here, you know, we go through a ritualistic, you know, and I scream and I holler and I try to get under the anointing and I try to get your attention and I try to preach your sermon, try to convince you that I'm anointed and I've got something for you and this is a great thing. I don't care for that kind of thing. It's silly to me. It's foolishness. To me, it takes a bunch of foolish people to do a thing like that. See, I don't come here to try to build a campground and keep the thing going where you'll have a place to live so you can say you're a Bethlehemite or ladies can wear long dresses and prove their point to the people out yonder. I don't do that because most of the women that wear the long dresses don't care to wear them anyway. I've got a few people that wear them for the glory of God, and they wear them because they feel they're doing something for Christ and being like Jesus. The rest of them is just nothing anyway. They're just wasting your time, my time, their time, the people's time. See, but there is a few people that love God at Bethlehem. A few. I don't have very many. But there are a few people that love God at Bethlehem. There are a few people that would like to understand more about God, and they'd love to get into that spiritual world, and they'd love to feed that little hungry one over yonder, and they'd love to be able to spread this gospel around the world somewhere so that people could know more about the Son of God. This is what I come to church for. See, and a lot of times here, I feel that this place is dead. I feel like God's not interested in it. I feel like He doesn't want to do anything here. Not that He don't want to do anything in Bethlehem, but for some of you people. Because I feel like you're dead to Him. I feel like you have no connection with God. I feel like you're not fasting. I feel like you're not praying. I feel like you don't read your Bibles. I feel like you never do anything for God in the way of your finance, in the way of visiting the sick, in the way of going to the jails or the people's homes or anything else. I just feel like you're just dead to God. And there's no enthusiasm in preaching to you. It's like a preacher said over in Mississippi, a real fiery preacher, an outstanding preacher, I could tell, preaching many years. He said, if there's anything that'll kill a preacher, it's preaching to the same congregation over and over. That is, if they get in a rut, if they get complacent, and they get to where they don't have any spiritual interest, that will kill the preacher. If he stays there with them, he'll die because they're already dead. See, so I can't do that. I can go preach to other people. I can come by back here. And I can preach to you, and I can preach to you a day or two, I can preach to you a month or two. But it depends on your enthusiasm. It depends on your desire. It depends on what you want to do. When I opened Bethlehem up and I started Bethlehem, we had people that was filled with the fire of God. We had people that was interested in world evangelism. We had people that come together that would praise God, just like you hear it on that tape. We had people that had a desire to be more like Jesus and to understand more things concerning God. But we've got many people now that's complacent. That all they want to do is have a good business, make a lot of money, fuss, fight, feud, find fault, accuse. Them kind of people don't need to be at Bethlehem. We're not interested in your business at Bethlehem. I don't care about your business at Bethlehem. You're not important to me because you make money or you have a business. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in you if you're a pretty girl and you think that you're so pretty that the long dresses just makes you something. I'm not interested in you. I'm not interested in you if you're a pretty boy because you think you add something to Bethlehem because you're here with your special talent and your special appearance and your special understanding. I'm not interested in you at all. I am interested in somebody that loves God, somebody that wants to go on with God, somebody that realizes that God's everything and they're nothing, and somebody that's willing to lay self aside, that's not interested in a career or anything of that kind. I'm interested in those that want to do something for Jesus Christ, that wants to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not interested in how long you can fast in going on your diet to lose weight. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in those kind of things. You can't add nothing to God. You can't take nothing away from God. And all of the foolish things that you're doing, God is not interested in them. I want some sober, godly, sincere, down-to-earth people that love Jesus Christ that want to be a Christian. Not to be called a Christian or have somebody think that they're Christian, but I want somebody that's a real, genuine child of God that wants to be Christ-like. That their innermost desire is to get rid of their corruptible thinking and their vain thoughts. As I said this morning, get rid of all of those things that's unlike God. I want somebody that will come into the realm of the Spirit, move into another dimension, and be interested in the revelation of Christ Jesus. Not just a lot of knowledge that Brother Pike talks about. A lot of things that I say because it excites you to find out what's happening today. I'm not interested in that. But I'm interested in somebody that wants to be just what they are by the grace of God, learn what they can, understand what they can, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and be a real, genuine, Christ-like person. If you don't have that desire, I'm not interested in you. If you don't have that outlook in life, I don't care about you. I'm not concerned about you. If I can't instill that within your heart, if I can't help you to find that, if I can't help you to get that kind of desire, I don't have any interest in you. You're just in my way. You're in God's way. You're not in His program at all as far as His future projects. So then if you want to grumble, if you want to backbite, if you want to fuss, if you want to find fault, if you want to say, the preacher didn't do me right, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in the congregation, and I don't believe in the Bethlehemites, and I don't believe in what they're doing, then you need to leave and get away from here and let us come together and love God. And if you just come over here just because you want to come over here, because you feel your husband comes over here, and you have to come, then you need to stay away. I don't need you over here. I don't need your kind over here. And if the husband comes just because he's trying to be with his wife, I don't need you over here. I want somebody that wants God and somebody that loves God. And if you come down here just to give this a try to see if you want to take hold of this and this is going to be your taste or fit your doing, I don't need you down here because God doesn't have anything for you to try. If you want to follow God and if this is of God and you want to follow it, you follow it. And if you don't, leave it alone and don't come around saying, I'm going to try this. If it works out all right, well, I'm going to believe it's of God and I'm going to do it. That's silly in the sight of God. That is silly in the sight of God. Can't you just picture Peter saying, I'll try this a little while. And if this works, Jesus, I'll go with you. And if it don't work, well, I'll just go my way. Can't you see how silly that would be? God is real. God is great. God is mighty. God is wanting to do something, not just for Bethlehem, but for Mexico and for Canada and for Germany and for Japan and every other place in the world. God wants to do something. And He's interested in reaching people, and God's interested in reality. God's interested in being what He is in your presence to you, to the blessings that you want Him to be, providing that you will submit yourself unto Him. If you will not submit yourself unto Him, as I said this morning, if you resist me, I'll resist you. If you be proud, then you'll be destroyed. If you be haughty, then I'll cause you to take a fall. If you go contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. If you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. So then, here at Bethlehem, I have really run into a problem in the last few months. I have run into a problem because I've got some people that are complacent. I've got some people that's playing games. I've got some people that are religious parasites and hypocrites. Don't want to work, don't want to help, don't want to share, and want to get everything they can out of the people and blame the people and blow up at the people if the people don't give them more. I've got some people here that want to be a hypocrite, find fault, accuse, say things, always finding fault, saying things, you know, about the people and want to say, I won't stay here, I'll move, I'll do this. The better, the sooner you do it, the better I like it. The quicker you get away from here, the better I like it. Because you're a thorn in my flesh. And the Bible said if I spare any of you, you'll be a prick in my side. The quicker you get away from here, the happier Brother Pike will be. Somebody say you're talking too loud, Brother Pike. I haven't got up like a trumpet yet. I'm just trying. I'm just tuning in, trying to get in that place. God is not interested in giving you prosperity like some of these evangelists preach to you. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in health. You're God's people. All God wants you to do is just praise Him and love Him. And that's all there is to it. God wants you to serve Him. God doesn't care about that, just praising Him and loving Him as we call love. God wants you to serve Him. He called you to serve Him, not just to praise Him. He wants you to serve Him. I've said this again and again. Couldn't you just picture your wife? She comes in. You come in from work and you're tired and hungry and you want a little bite to eat. And she's painted up like a Jezebel and she says, oh, my darling husband, my darling husband, my darling husband. You could care less about the darling part. You want something to eat. You've been working. You're tired. See, you want her to serve you. You want her to do something for you. The Bible said, if you will do what I ask you to do, and then if you will serve me, then after that I'll serve you. I'll do something for you. And you can command me concerning the works of my hand. See, we're playing some kind of silly game, people. And this thing is getting to be a stench in the nostrils of God. And the preachers are literally choking to death on it. It's turned the preachers into entertainers. If they're not some Elvis Presley that can sing and entertain the people, then they don't have a congregation anymore. So they've gone worldly. And they've gone after the things of the world. They've become a pretty boy and a show boy. And they got pretty girls and show girls. And they got the celebrities down to keep the congregation. God doesn't want that kind of a mess. That's the title for it, is a mess. God doesn't want that kind of mess. And I don't want to hear it at Bethlehem. I want God's will at Bethlehem. I want people that love God at Bethlehem. If I don't have but 10 people at Bethlehem, if they love God and they want to praise God and they want to get their mind off of passions and quit corrupting Bethlehem and get their minds off of the things of the world and quit causing reproach at Bethlehem, I'd love to have those 10 people. Otherwise, I don't need anybody except Jesus. I'd rather lock the door, sell the church, sell the campground, sell the boat, sell the plane, sell everything we've got and give it to the hungry babies over yonder in India and give it to somebody that needs it. Give it to some evangelist that's out there trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Than to have a bunch of hypocrites and have a place of hypocrisy and have a place to where people come together with a superficial outlook of no interest in God, and they come to you, the preacher, and he preaches to them that night, and they go back the next day and they're in the same old rut they was when they come that night. They start running their mouths the very next day. Gossiping, backbiting, tearing down, causing problems. They start running their mouth about the world. And they have no interest in God, no interest in God. They have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in whatever God's program might be in world outreach. They have no interest at all. They don't want to grow in the grace and knowledge. They don't want to understand the revelation. They don't want to toil with their hands to help do whatever needs to be done. At this point, I'd love to say something here. I made mention this morning about the school when he came back. I found out today as I walked around the grounds down here that Brother Tommy Clark had worked out there and laid those blocks. Those blocks are ready. I praise God for that because I've got to pour the cement apart for the top and fill those things with steel. I thank God that Tommy pressed in and got that done for me so that I can get that building on its way. But folks, I don't need people that ain't going to do nothing for God. I don't need people like that. I need somebody that's going to work with me. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe that's preaching? Do you believe that's right? Do you believe you ought to say that? I believe that's God's way. I believe that's what it is. I believe that's the way that God wants it. That's why I raise up my voice to say it. That's what I want because I know that to be God's way. You say, where do you find that in the Bible, Brother Pike? God said, Gideon, get rid of the hypocrites. Get rid of those that's half-hearted. Get rid of those that's not going to stand with me. Get rid of those that's not going to fight and do the will of God. Let those people go back. Get rid of them. They're just going to cause you problems. And the Bible said when Gideon got through, he just had a few. But God won the battle with the few. He told the rest of them to go back. That's what I'm telling you. Go back. Go back. Get out of my way. Go back. I got a battle to fight. I got a war to win. I got a job to do. Go back and get out of my way. You're cowards. You're hypocrites. You're people that don't want to serve God. You don't love the Lord. Get out of my way and let me get my few that loves God. Those that are Christians. Those that love God. Those that are fasting. Those that are praying. Those that are calling on the name of the Lord. Those that are reading the Bible. Those that want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Those that want to wear the long dresses because they want to be a lady and they want to be a Christian and they want to show Christ, not to show something off. They are no good to me just because you wear a long dress and you go uptown and you feel like I'm making such a terrible sacrifice. I'm wearing this long dress, you know, and it's such a horrible thing, but I'm a Bethlehemite. You hypocrite, I don't need you. I want somebody that will go to town. They'll go wherever they go and they'll have on the long dress. And when people look at them, they'll think, I'm a lady. I love God. I want to cover my neck this up. I want to be a lady. I don't care what they think. I love Jesus Christ and I'm wearing this because this is the right thing to do. That's the kind of women I want. I want men that love God, that believe in holiness, that's clean and straight and upright. I don't want men that go to town and go to other places and they melt down and they compromise and they hypocrite around and they cut the corner to keep from standing up for what we're trying to do. I don't need people like that. I want somebody that's got enough God about them, enough backbone about them to say, I belong to Bethlehem. We're evangelizing the world. Don't you want to be a part of it? What you're doing is nothing. Be a part of what we're doing. It's something. Oh, somebody say you couldn't do that. Oh, I say that all the time. Somebody say, well, I'm this and I'm that. I say, well, that's nothing. They say, but I'm a... I say, that's nothing. But I've got... I say, that's nothing. Would you like me to tell you something? Would you like me to tell you what you ought to do and what you ought to be? And then I set in to tell them. That's what I want. I want somebody that'll get down to the point. Not to offend, not to hurt, but get down to the point. And let them know that they're nothing. Not nothing. A few days ago when the mayor wanted me to take coffee with him, I thought, that's nothing. I said, I'm sorry, I got to go to another place. He just felt so insulted because he had some of his comrades around. To me, that was nothing. Taking coffee with the president and the mayor, talking to somebody that's a celebrity out there that's supposed to be some football star, that's nothing. It's a bunch of foolishness. I don't have time to mess with nothing like that. That's like the man that went down to the prophet down there. He got down there and said, don't you know who I am? What difference does that make? The prophet said, what you need to do is go down to the muddy river and get the starch out of you. But he said, that's nothing. But you don't. That's nothing, he said. Just go on down to the river and take your bath. Get the stink off. That's the way I feel. The world is nothing. And all that's in the world is nothing. Jesus is everything. All of the people of the world is nothing except those that love Jesus Christ. Those that serve God, they're mighty gods. They're mighty instruments of war. They're mighty powerful, great celebrities and dignitaries that have eternal power and regime throughout eternity. They're great and mighty. Solomon said, who can speak to those great mighty gods? But the rest of them ain't nothing but beast. They're nothing. They'll all pass away. All of their sayings and their proverbs, all of their wisdom, all of their colleges, all of their money, all of their great places of being a dignitary, they're nothing. The president's nothing. The king's nothing. People that have great talents are nothing. Millionaires and billionaires are nothing. But people of God are something. And they're the only something that there is. So then, at Bethlehem, I've run into a great problem in the last few months. I've come again and again to try to feed the people, to try to nourish the people, to try to encourage the people, to try to lead the people. But I notice more and more, many of them are making a change to the worst. More of them are going to the worst. See, whereas we say so many that balanced it to the better, now more and more balance it to the worst. This man, he sees this man over here. He says, boy, he's making a lot of money, ain't he? He's got a good business. I wish I could be like him. The preacher says, but don't you want to be like Jesus? Oh, yes, I'd like to do that too. But this man, he's just got a nice car. He makes money. Everybody notices him. See, folks, that's strong delusions. The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, God will turn you over to reprobate mind, let you believe a lie. The Bible said, and cause you to be damned. He will actually cause you to be damned. He'll cause you to believe a lie. He'll send you a lying spirit. That spirit said, I'll go. God said, who'll go and be a lying spirit in the man's mouth? He said, I'll go. I'll go be a lying spirit. And God sent them strong delusions because they didn't want to believe what the prophet said. See, and God sent in the church world strong delusions. And the church world getting colder and colder like a block of ice. They're getting more to where you can't penetrate their heart with the truth. You know, I can turn the mic up, I can stick it up in my mouth and get out there like an evangelist and turn it up and just blast until you can't do nothing else but listen to your roar in your ears, you know. But when it comes to speaking about the truth, you that want to be a football player, that's foolishness. You that want to be some sportsman, that's foolishness. You need to get your mind straightened out. Let God wash your mind and get the filth out of you. That's filthy. Being in sports is filthy in the sight of God. Get that out of your sight. Quit watching it on the TV. Quit reading it in the newspaper. Get away from that foolishness. Or either get out of the church. Get away from the church and stop spitting up your vomit. The Bible said my tables are full of vomit. Stop spitting up your vomit and get out in the world and vomit. See, you don't need to be in the church if you're going to be in that kind of condition. You're a hypocrite. And you stand at the door and those that's coming you hinder. Get your mind off of passions. If you're some man or woman, you just can't get above passions. Your mind's always on passions. Always thinking about your face. Or thinking about your ability. Or thinking about your appearance. Thinking about your talents. You need to get your mind washed out and get the garbage washed out of you. If you feel like some big fellow walking around all the time that everybody's admiring, you know, like some wild animal prancing around in a pasture, putting on a show, you need to get out of that. You need to get out of that. You need to get your mind washed out of the filth. You know, you're just a human being that's made just to be a human being. That's all. You're no special thing at all. You're not made to be some special prize something. You know, that he's put out there for reproduction. Walk around like some instrument that's put there for hire, as we say. It's about the cleanest way I know to put it. Some of you men are like that. Some of you women are like that. You need to get away from that beastly act and get down to being a human being and realize you're nothing. You're not smart. You're not intelligent. You don't have the answer. Somebody says, I'm smart. I know more than that feller. It's hard. You know, you need to realize you don't know nothing. The Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know nothing as you ought to know. So then tonight, every one of you, man and woman alike, that thinks that you know something, the Bible said you don't know nothing like you ought to know. So you see where that puts you. See, God doesn't need some super intelligence. God doesn't need some superman that's got all the answers. God needs a Christ-like person. God needs a Christian. God doesn't need somebody that is interested in money and fame and popularity and the things that... Somebody said, why do you preach like that, Brother Pike? Because that's what it's all about. If the love of the world's in you, the love of God's not there. Sports is the love of the world. Money's the love of the world. Houses and land and all of these things are the love of the world. If that's in you, then the love of God is not there. If you've got your mind on what you're going to be, that's the love of the world. If you've got your plans and program for you and your wife and family, that's the love of the world. The Bible teaches that you should meditate in His laws day and night. Think about Him day and night. Keep Him on your mind day and night. Get away from all of the foolishness. Get away from all these things that you're doing. Stop being worldly minded. Stop coming to the church as a dead man or a dead woman with no interest in spiritual things. Stop going out into the world doing the things that you do out there. Getting up in the morning to go out there to do nothing. Eating and drinking that you might do more of nothing. Buying and getting gain that you might be more of a nothing. What are you doing out there? Somebody says, I'm getting my education. You're getting nothing. Education is nothing. It's just a lot of junk. That's all it is. It's nothing. You're just filling your mind with junk. The Bible said he that is born of God is already of a good understanding. He can cultivate his mind. He can cultivate his life. He can apply himself to something for God. But just getting education is nothing but junk. It turns you into a hippie. It turns you into a proselyte. It turns you into a reprobate. It turns you into something that's just contrary to God and God's good way of life. You're actually nothing. Where does all of the sportsmen come from? Where does the football players come from? Where does the basketball players come from? They come from the junkyard, which is college. Somebody say amen or shut up. Oh me, whatever, don't matter. They come from the junkyard. They come from college. Where does the hippies come from? Where does the reprobates and the prostitutes come from? They come from college. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, it's true anyhow, whether you believe it or not. All of these girls going off to college, and somebody's supposed to chaperone them while they're there. And mother and daddy says, dear darling, you go get your education. You know, in the back of their mind, they could say, "Dear daughter, I know that you're going to be a harlot and you're going to be a reprobate and you ain't going to be fit for the dogs when you get your so-called education." But all, it's all right, darling, because the world feels that way about it. The tree of rottenness. It's the tree of rottenness. It started with the old tree of knowledge that today is called college. That's what it is. It's the tree of rottenness, and it produces beatniks. It produces streakers like we had over here in Athens. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we put people in the Athens College so that they can strip off their clothes and run across the campus and be a streaker. Somebody says, "But everybody's not like that, Brother Pike." But I'm talking about them that are. There's one good thing about it, or one sure thing about it. All of them might not be like that, but if you leave them over there long enough, they'll be like that. One rotten apple will get all of them. The Bible said evil communication corrupt good manners. It won't be long, it'll be like that. If I let that go on out here at Bethlehem and let this rottenness stay out here that's going on among some of them, the whole place will be rotten. See, so what is education? It's junk. That's what it is. Paul used the term, it's science, it's knowledge, falsely so called. They call it that. They call it knowledge, but he said ain't nothing to it. They're ever learning and never can't find out what they're doing. Their theories and their books has about drove them to the insane asylum till they're running over. What do I need to do, Brother Pike? You need to get your Bible. You need to get the Word of God. You need to get a good understanding. You need to develop yourself. Somebody said, get an education. No, forget about education. Forget about position. Forget about celebrities. Forget about the world. Get your mind on God and let God teach you good common sense. And let God teach you the Word of God. And let God give you a development in your understanding. Stop worrying about mother and daddy and whoever that wants to stick you off in some school. Quit worrying about it. And think about Jesus. Get your mind on God. What time do you have to set 8 solid hours a day with your nose stuck in a book when you're supposed to be thinking about Jesus and every thought is supposed to be on Jesus? How in the world are you going to do that? How can you have your mind on cars and houses and land and all the things of the world and your prestige and your jobs and your positions and your businesses? How can you do that? Somebody says, Brother Pike, you'll never get the doctors and the lawyers the way you preach. I'm not looking for them. God planted them in a different field. Let them grow out there where they belong. He's the one that sold them out there among the briars. I didn't. Somebody said, them professional men. I'm talking about them men. Like the Bible said, there'll be no healing medicines in that day. And I believe in God, and I believe in the terms of medicine, in the sense of what God has given, herbs or whatever He's given, medicines or whatever. A mere heart doeth good like a medicine. I believe in a physician. Jesus said the sick need a physician. But I don't believe in this junk we got today. Like my brother said, he paid thousands of dollars for some healing medicine, and he never did get any. I'm not interested in pretty boys and playboys and important boys. And somebody thinks they're important because they got a certain position. I'm not interested in that. God's not interested in it either. It's repulsive to me. Rather than drawing me to it and making me feel like they're important, it's repulsive to me. And it's repulsive to God too. Anything that's esteemed in the flesh by the world, it's repulsive to God. It's of none importance to God. If they esteem you in the world, then you're of no value to God. Until you get out of that place to where they esteem you out there, then you'll never be any good to God. When the people out there get to where they know that you're godly and they know that you're holy and they know that you believe in Christianity, they're going to turn you off, as the world says, and put you away from them. And then when they do that, you become valuable to God. You can sing that song, "Then I'm so glad I am one of them." But as long as you're one of them out there, you know, and you're trying to do something for God over here, you'll never do nothing but make a mess. The biggest mess that's ever been made in the church is where preachers have tried to set up colleges like over yonder in Tennessee and different places and get people into it and get the doctors into it and get the lawyers into it. Old Roberts has made a mess in what he's done. Somebody said, "Wait a minute, Brother Pike." I said, he's made a mess in what he's done. He's tried to mix darkness with light. About hundreds of other preachers have done the same thing and followed him. It's a mess. That's all it is. A mess. Women stripping off their clothes. People jumping hurdles. Boys out there in tights. And you tell me that's God? That's a mess. taking bobbed-haired women up here, hair bobbed off up here, painted up like a Jezebel, and saying, "Now you go win the world." How can anything like that win the world? That's the world to begin with. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, look at these degrees they got. Junk. It's a mess." Somebody said, "Brother Pike, can't you be more diplomatic? Can't you use a better term?" I don't know. Jesus said, "Hogs wallering in the slop. Dogs laughing vomit." So it makes me believe it's a mess. That's a mess when you get that. If you don't believe that's a mess, you empty the slop bucket in your living room. You get the pigs in there. You let the dogs vomit a little bit and you'll see you got a mess. That's what it is. It's a mess. God said, "All of my tables are filled with vomit." It ain't just a mess old Roberts has got up there. All of them's got that way. The churches has got that way. God delivered Bethlehem. It's trying to get that way too. God delivered Bethlehem. Keep us from that mess. Keep our tables from being full of vomit. You say, "What's vomit, Brother Pike?" God spew you out of his mouth because you're lukewarm. That's a mess. That's vomit. So then, I tell you tonight, God doesn't want you if you are with the world. God doesn't want you if you're highly esteemed by the world. God doesn't want you if you feel important to the world. God doesn't want you in your businesses and all those kind of things. And I'm not against a man having a business. If a man's got an honest, straight, godly business that he doesn't mind using for God, he doesn't compromise to get it, he stands up like Daniel did down there in Babylon. Daniel had an office. The Hebrew children had an office. Daniel was at the head of the wise men down there. But Daniel stood for God. When the devil said, "Come on, Daniel, and nip with us a little bit," he said, "I don't do things like that." He said, "Daniel, you can't pray to God and be one of us." He said, "Well, you just count me out right there. I'm going to pray to God anyway." And he wound up being thrown into the fire furnace. See, God wants somebody that'll stand up for righteousness. I get so weary of some of these hypocrite evangelists. They come out here doing camp meetings. Some of them come out here and they sat around and they mused and they thought and they looked and they picked and they pecked and they went off and had their little spree. And said, "God's going to do this to Bethlehem. And God's going to do that to Bethlehem. God's going to burn their fields and God's going to tear them from limb to limb." That's what God's going to do with a bunch of hypocrites. They don't need to come out here to start with if not interested in world evangelism and feeding the hungry and doing what we're trying to do for God. They ain't got no business out here. The Bible said they're thieves and they're robbers. They're spots and blemishes. Men, ungodly men, the Bible said, that's crepping unawares while the brethren wasn't on their toes. And they come to spite our liberty to find out what we're doing so that they can go off and say things about it and make a joke out of it. I don't need some pretty girl or some pretty boy coming over here supposed to have a talent to come in here and spite the liberties. I don't need that kind of thing. I just want good, common, down-to-earth, good, godly people. I want people that's got a backbone enough that when a leech comes among us, they say, "Hey, do you know you're a leech? You need to get converted. You need to get turned around." I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't mean to be boisterous and haughty. I don't mean to be contrary. But I mean to be sensible. I mean to be straight about the thing. Tell the man he's a leech and he needs to do something. He needs to get straightened out. Like a boy come to me down in Florida. No shirt on. Young fella. He come telling me about his ministry. I said, "Your ministry?" He said, "I got a great ministry." I ain't saying that nobody else don't have great ministers. Them other ministers ain't great ministers. But I got a great unusual ministry or whatever. He wanted to know if I had a place for him. And I thought, well, the first thing you need to do is put your shirt on. That's the greatest ministry I know that you could have right now, just to get your shirt on. And I began to talk to him a little bit. So he went away and he come back and he had a shirt on. But it wasn't buttoned in the front and the sleeves was pulled out. But at least we was making progress. I preached to him a little more and as he listened to me, he started buttoning up the shirt. And you know what? When we finally got to talking to the boy, I began to try to explain to him what he needed to do was get right with God. I said, "What you need, young fella, is to conform to the ways of Christ. If you ever expect to have a ministry." You know what it is? It's a charismatic order of a mess that's got them kids in that kind of shape. Got the young people in that kind of shape. Oh, dear, it doesn't bother God for you to sit and watch the things on TV. It doesn't bother. You know, they used to have "I Love Lucy" till Lucy died. I don't know who they love now.
But anyway, it doesn't bother God. You can just sit there and just slop in the mess all you want to. It really doesn't bother God. Because pigs eat slop. It doesn't bother God. God made the pigs to eat the slop. Let them eat all they want to. But folks, it bothers God when a son of God gets into the hog pen. Did you know that? That bothers God. You get into the hog pen like I did down here when I was chasing the hogs. Me and Brother Taylor down there. And I'll tell you, after a while, you lose all your friends. Even our closest friends begin to back off. God doesn't care about a dog licking vomit. But it bothers him when a man gets down and starts licking vomit. Because he didn't make a man to do that. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I wouldn't do that for nothing. Well, what are you out there doing it for? You get out there and some old dog spits up something. He said, well, what is that? He said, that's a joke. And you just lap away at it. You just stick your tongue right into it, and the first news you know, something's coming out your tongue too. Why do you do that? If you are a son of God, stay away from the mess. I say that those evangelists have turned the church into a mess. And those people have hatched off a bunch of bastard children. And they're bringing forth a generation that God's going to burn with fire. And I say that they're out there causing a great mess and perverting the minds of those that would do right. It's a charismatic mess. It's not Christianity. God doesn't want a bunch of people just to praise Him. I want to get this over to Bethlehem because some of you done got charismatic. God doesn't want a bunch of people to praise Him. He's not looking for somebody to praise Him. Somebody says, God just wants somebody to praise Him, Brother Pike. God doesn't want nobody like that. The Bible said praise is comely for the upright. If you're upright, then God wants you to praise Him. If you're not, He wants you to keep your mouth shut. Somebody said, but God wants everybody to pray to Him. The Bible said all of your prayers is abomination in the sight of God unless you're living for God. All of your praying, everything that you ask God is repulsive to God. If you're not going to live for God, God doesn't want any part of it. But God wants us all to get together, Brother Pike. You don't understand. I'm an evangelist. I've got to take offerings. I've got a great project. I'm building a college. God doesn't care what you're building. God is not interested in the offering of the wicked, and God doesn't need the offering of the wicked. God doesn't need me to turn the house of God into a place of merchandise just to sell everything like they were doing when Jesus found them out there. God doesn't want me to be a hypocrite and print up books so I can print up books to print up books just to sell and make money. See, God is not interested in things like that. God is not interested in Brother Pike's project unless it's a godly project. God is not interested in Brother Pike's boat, Brother Pike's plane, Brother Pike's buildings, unless it's for God, unless God was in the arrangements. God's not interested in it. If I build a college, if I build a hospital, to God it's a junk, unless God told me to do it, unless God's in it. Somebody said, well, I know that God's in it because what? Because that evangelist is such a great evangelist, and I've got all kind of confidence in him. No doubt you're a hypocrite like he's a hypocrite. Two walk together because they agree. You send your money to him because you like his charismatic way of doing. You don't live right. And he doesn't live right, so that fits your fancy, so you give him the support. The world loves its own. You don't check the word of God to see if you're right. You just check the evangelist. If he says it, that's all right. That's foolishness in the sight of God. It don't matter who the evangelist is. Brother Pike, Brother Roberts, Brother Graham, whoever. If the man ain't living for God, if the man ain't walking with the Bible, if the man ain't preaching God's word, God has no interest in it. So then your project is nothing, my project is nothing, our project is nothing unless God is interested in it, unless it's God's plans. See, God doesn't want you to get some idea and start trying to use Him. Somebody says, I'm a great evangelist, and all they want to do is use God. They don't want God to use them. They've got their own plans, they've got their own programs, and they want to use God. See, but God's not interested in your plans and program. He's got a program of His own. He's wanting to use you. You know, if we thought more of men and we used money to the benefit of men instead of trying to use men to the benefit of money, we'd be better off. And especially when it comes to God. If we give ourselves to God, let God use us instead of getting a program and trying to use God, we'd be a whole lot better off. But see, God is not interested in a charismatic order that doesn't teach holiness. What then is God interested in, Brother Pike, since you know so much? God is interested in holiness, and that's all. Nothing else at all. He's not interested in hospitals. He's not interested in buildings. He's not interested in money. He's not interested in me. He's not interested in you. He's not interested in anybody or anything. He's interested in holiness. And the Bible said without holiness, you won't see him. And that's his interest, if you want to see him. And without holiness, you'll die and go to hell. God is the spirit of holiness. God is the spirit of life. And brothers, when you start running around with your shirts off and start running around in your clothing the way that some of you do, and the way Betty and I saw this the other night going through Pensacola down there, as we drove along Fort Walton Beach, it was night, and we drove down through Pensacola, there along the beach, I never seen such a sloppy mess in my life as I seen there. Traveling California and all around. I mean, it was one of the sloppiest messes I ever seen. A young girl about 18 or 19 years old sitting over here with some younger girls, and you could tell she was just about doped up out of her head and just almost slobbering, hollering and going on at the boys, and the boys going over there, and over here 15 or 20 or 40 or 1,000 others all along the road here, and hugging and a kissing and a pressing themselves on each other, and going on and a slobbering and a slopping over each other, filthy and dirty in their talk, and music rocked up back there in the wildest, craziest, jumbled up heathenistic way that you've ever heard in your life. Sodom and Gomorrah must have been a paradise compared to it. Right behind them, see a little thing over here, want the people to come. Joshua and Jericho, the fall of the walls of Jericho. This is the comedy. I just had told Betty, I said, Betty, the sad thing about these people is they know about Jesus. I said, them young people out there know about Jesus. I said, many of them have been brought up in the church and in a churchy home, and they know about Jesus. But God's turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned, to dishonor their bodies between each other and be like a bunch of dogs and pigs because they didn't love the truth. And they think that's living. They think that's being cool. They think that's something when they're acting like a bunch of heathenistic people that don't know nothing. And sure enough, to know about God, well, here's Jericho, here's Joshua, here's the fall of the walls. The comedy, making a joke out of God. Somebody said one time, if God doesn't do something to this terrible generation, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother, sister, Sodom and Gomorrah were never nothing like this dirty, filthy thing that we got going today. Nothing. Never been anything like this in the history of the world. Sodom and Gomorrah couldn't even touch what's going on today. That might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're an unbeliever anyway. You don't believe nothing is right. You got your ideas about it because you feel like you're Mr. Importance. Brother Pye doesn't say it right, it isn't right, according to your calculation. It might be interesting to you to know that God has a different thought about it. His thoughts are higher above yours than the heavens is the earth. That's a mess out there. That is a mess. And the Bible said, woe unto Chorazin and Bethsaida. Jesus said that. Said, woe unto you. Said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. Why did he say that? Because that's the way it was. And you tell me that Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't even as bad as Bethsaida? And then you tell me that Sodom and Gomorrah is worse than what we got today. There is no comparison. There is no comparison. Folks, the world today is a mess. Somebody says America's in a mess. No, the world's in a mess. It's not America. The world's in a mess. And the mess wants to come into Bethlehem. Like a man that come in here today with his shorts on and sucking on his cigarette. Trying to be as merciful as I could to him because he was already on the campground. I tried to reach the man's soul, but when I finally got through, I let him know I wasn't interested in what he was or what he thought, and I walked out the door and left him trying to talk to me. It's a mess. And you and I are guilty of it if we don't turn away and deny it. We're guilty of all the blood that come down, even from the garden, from righteous Abel. The Bible said you're guilty of every bit of that blood.
You bunch of young people, you are a mess. You've got your life in such a filthy, wretched mess. It's like that boy standing there telling me what a great ministry he had. I said, where do you go to church? He told me. Had a fine ministry. He said, I know about the Church of God. I've been to the Church of God, and I've been to the Assemblies of God. And I said, you have? Yeah. But he said, I got a great ministry. My daughter said, well, Daddy, he was over here drunk yesterday. Said he declared he was leaving his wife, going to divorce his wife. Don't you know, folks, that's some kind of mess in the sight of God? Don't you know that's a mess? Everything that jumps up and hollers, I'm a preacher. That's a mess. I feel that the things that I saw the other night in the vision of some of the blood being spilled, I believe it's some of you fellas that sit right here and judge me and got your idea about the pastoral thing of the way you think it ought to be and the way you think I ought to talk and what you think I ought to say and whether you think I'm in the Spirit or out of the Spirit or whether you think it's right or think it's wrong. I believe it's some of you, and I believe that it'll show up. So then it is a mess. What are we supposed to do? Praise the Lord, David said. Praise the Lord. Let the dragons praise him too. Let the dragons praise him. Will the dragons praise God? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. Let the charismatics praise him. Does it do the dragon any good? No, he's a dragon when he finishes. He was a dragon when he started praising him. He's a dragon when he finishes. So then the rain comes on the just. The rain comes on the unjust. The rain comes on the wheat. The rain comes on the tares. When the rain finishes, the tares still a tare and the wheat still a wheat. So then let's praise the Lord, but let's be upright. For praise is comely for the upright. Let's love Jesus. Let's quit playing a game. Let's quit being superficial. Let's quit coming to church at Bethlehem without praying, without seeking God, without loving God, without conforming to the things of God. I said, young fellow, your starting place is here. You need to conform to the Word of God and the ways of Jesus Christ. I said, that's the first thing you need to do. He said, is that what I need to do? I said, that's what you need to do. So he went home and put him on a shirt. I didn't say nothing about putting on a shirt. But he knew he was wrong. Them people down yonder in that filthy mess know that they're wrong. People run around in shorts, like over at the old Roberts College and over at the Churches of God and the Pentecostal Church. It's sad to say that. But Pentecostal churches are supposed to be the cream of the crop. There are people running around in shorts and playing golf in such a silliness that such had never been heard of in the history of the world. It's bad enough that Baptists and Methodists did that. But people that profess to have the Holy Ghost and to know about God, are their dream is to be a football star or to be the president or to be a doctor. Their dream is to be a millionaire or be somebody in the community that somebody will really respect. Don't you know that's a bunch of junk to God? Don't you know that's foolishness to God? God could care less, as the world says, whether you be a doctor or not. God's not interested in you being a doctor, you being a lawyer, you being a football player. God's interested in you being a Christian, which means to be Christ-like. Somebody said, well, I can be all these things and still be Christ-like. You know that's not true. Christ was never interested in being a football player, nor being a doctor, nor being a professional man, nor being anything else in the world. To be like Christ, if you was really like him, you wouldn't be interested in the thing that you're interested in either. The man said, well, you never told me there's anything wrong with it. I told you over and over. You just never did listen. You're dull of hearing. I said, well, Brother Pike, you let me go on doing what I do. Person I talked to not too long ago, and I said, don't do that. He said, huh? I said, don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. Well, I said, okay, go ahead and do that. So when he'd done that, he come back and said, why did you let me do that? How are you going to stop him? I tell you, I say, don't do that. God said, Balaam, don't do that. Well, Lord, he said, Balaam, don't do that. Well, Lord, Balaam, that's not the right thing to do. Well, God said, go on and do it, Balaam. Just do what you want to do. Go on and do it. You know, if you're going to argue with God and you're going to fuss with the preacher and you're always going to want to do what you want to do in your thinking, then God's going to feed you the fruits of your thoughts. See, what you need to do is do what you're told to do, what God tells you to do. Somebody said, well, nobody will tell me nothing. Well, you need to let somebody tell you something. You're in a bad situation. You come into the world as a baby, you don't know nothing. Your daddy, your mother has to teach you something. And you're supposed to be taught something, and that by people that know what they're talking about. But you know what it is? It's like I was telling somebody down in Florida. We have come to a day when everybody feels like everybody else don't know. And they don't know whether they know themselves or not, but they feel like everybody else don't either. And they say, well, I've heard him, and I've heard her, and I've heard them, and they said it in college, and they said it over yonder, and my thoughts are just as good as his thoughts. No, that's wrong. There is somebody in the world that does know. There's somebody in the world that God put here to know. There's somebody that has the answer, and you need to listen till you find it. But nevertheless, you're not going to do it. Some of you are not going to do it. You're already reprobate. You've already been turned over to a reprobate mind. You're going to believe a lie and be damned. You're going to do what you want to do. And the preacher is going to change it. Nobody else is going to change it. And he's not preaching to you so that you can change it. He's preaching to you so that God, in the day of judgment, can say, you knew better than to do it. I told you. But if you're a bribe, you're a bribe. If you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. From the foreknowledge of God, you're just what you are. God didn't send the preacher to try to change you. God sent the preacher to tell you what you are and to reveal to you what you are, because the Word of God reveals to you what you are. And every time there is a real God sermon, there are some twins that's born, and one of them's born to bastard child, and the other's born to God child. Because everyone that hears the Word of God, they come up with a concept, and they come up with an idea, and they come up with a nature, and they come up with a characteristic in their life that causes them to go the way that they desire to go. And their desire is the determining factor. If that desire is toward God, then you're elect. If that desire is toward the world, then you'll use the Word of God to be religious. You'll be a bastard child. You'll be cut off to reprobate mind, and you'll be damned. And God said, I'll hate your image in the morning. See, your mind, your thinking is what shows you what you are. Brother and sister, I say again, what is your motive for coming to church? What is your motive for being at Little Bethlehem? What is your motive for building the church? What is your motive for living on the campground? What is your motive for professing Christianity? What is your motive? What do you hope to obtain? What do you hope to be? What are you looking for? I want to be a Christian, just a plain, simple, down-to-earth Christian. If I can tell everybody I can about Jesus and about holiness, and I can go everywhere in the world that I can go, and God will make the way for me to do it, and tell everybody the same thing, having us all to think the same thing, to speak the same thing, and that is that the other is a mess, and that the only thing is right is God. And the only thing that's right is holiness, and all other religion is a mess. Every church in the world today is a mess, except the holiness church. Somebody said, now wait a minute. I said, every other church in the world today is a mess and a cage of unclean and hateful birds, except the holiness church. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. What denomination are you talking about? Holiness is not a denomination. God is the Spirit of holiness. And a holy church, it may be called by any denominational name. But if it's a holy church, if people are holy, and if God's in it, and the Spirit of holiness is in it, it's God's people, and it's God's church, and it doesn't matter where it's found. And if it isn't like that, then it is a mess. No matter what kind of reputation the evangelist has got, whether it's Brother Pike or whoever. And folks, I say this again in closing, I don't want Bethlehem to be a mess. Some of you have worked overtime to try to turn it into a mess. But I don't want it to be a mess. I want to tell you the truth, and when I stand before God and you stand there with me, I want God to be able to look at me and God to be able to look at you. And I want you to be able to look right at God and God look right at you And if God should ask you, what did this preacher preach? You say, well, he preached everything was a mess except holiness. Amen. Amen. God is the spirit of holiness. Amen. That's right. God will say amen. That's right. The angels will say amen. That's right. The prophets, the apostles will say amen. That's right. Away with all of it except holiness. Having your fruits unto holiness, the end thereof, everlasting life. So, folks, I love you. And I feel better about Bethlehem than I did a month or two ago. I was so disturbed over it a few months ago, it didn't look like it was going to ever come out. So many people had gotten perverted in their thinking in the sense of worldliness. Not all of my people. Somebody said, boy, I thought it's something at Bethlehem. We better get away from this place. No, I'm not talking about that. This is a godly place, a holy people, a holy place. But I'm talking about a bunch of hypocrites that's got in here, a bunch of tares that's got in here, a bunch of spots and blemishes, men, ungodly men that's creeping unawares to try to turn this thing into ungodliness, into lasciviousness. I'm talking about those people. See, I want holy folks. Holy folks. If the truck's back up tomorrow and you're moving, I won't feel bad. You don't even have to wave as you say goodbye. I'll know how you feel. I know you believed in this sermon. I know you went your way. But if you decide to stay, we want you to clean up your mess. We want you to clean up your mess. If you're going to stay, we want you to be a brother. We want you to be a sister. We want you to come through them gates with thanksgiving, praise. We want to turn this place into a place to where hundreds and thousands of people around the world can gather. And where people, like that vision I had the other night, where there was a great gathering. He said, well, you want money? No. As a matter of fact, my brother Junior was telling me today, said, George, I don't know just what it was. He said, but you must be going to come into a lot of money. He said, I saw where money was just being dealt out with you and said it didn't stop. It just kept on. Lots of money. He said it was big money. And he said, as fast as it came to you, he said, I don't need it. This man needs it. I don't need it. Let them have it. I don't need it. Put it over here. And that's the way I feel about it. I really don't need it. I'd love to see it go to the hungry, to the needy, to people that do need it. I'm eating fine. God's taking care of me. I need to give it to them that do need it. I need to share with them that do need it. I don't need to build an empire out here of buildings and whatever. I'd love to have some more buildings because we need them. Some more offices, some more men and women of integrity. Somebody that loves God. Somebody to take a backbone. Some of the younger people that will stand up and say, God, I don't want the mess that my dad and mother's been in. Brother Pike, I don't want the mess that they've been in. I want to do right. I believe what you're saying is right. I don't want to die in the wilderness, in my wilderness wandering of intellectual reasoning, of trying to figure out all this thing about college and professional men and all this kind of mess that the world's got into that they've done spent a lifetime in and turned it into a cesspool of iniquity. I don't want all this thing about getting the business and being important and having money, all this kind of thing. I want to be a Christian and let God meet my needs. And if it's a business, great. If it's something good that God's added, all these things will be added. If it's being a professional man that God adds it, if that's his pleasure, that's fine. But I ain't following after nothing but God, Brother Pike. I'm following after Christ that all these other things be added to me according to what he wants. So then, I feel that we need to get together at Bethlehem, and I feel like we need to do something. I said a number of times, the little Gideon crew, I want them to get together with me. I want to do something. I'm going to close. Somebody down at the boat the other day, they got excited. I said something, and it really struck them. They said, old Brother Pike said, I believe that's what's going to bring the brethren together. And they were sincere about it. Said, I just believe that's going to do it. What you said there is going to happen. And I said, brother, let me tell you. I said, I don't want some of these men. I said, I don't want some of them. You're talking about bringing them all in. I don't want them. I've been trying to get them out. I don't want them in. I've been trying to get them out. The Bible said, separate yourself from all these that walk ungodly. That's what's wrong with the church today. They're all mixed up. I don't want them in there. I want to get them out of there. Come out from among them, the Bible said, not go out there and mix with them. I want to come out from among them. I want to get you out from among them. How many of you would like to take your little children and turn them out there with a bunch of wild beasts and snakes in the grass? How would you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to get your children out from among them? Sure, God wants his children out among them. That's the seed of the serpent out there. God wants to get you away from them. Their mind is poison. Their bite is poison. Their communications are corruptible. God wants to get you out of there. All right, I want you to stand with me. It is impossible but that offense should come. Woe unto him by whom it cometh. It's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and drown in the depths of the sea than to offend one of the little ones. The Bible said the great angel came and picked up a millstone and cast it into the ocean or into the sea and said, Babylon the great is fallen. She's fallen. She's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird and of devils. And she's fallen and she's going to taste of the wrath of God. Folks, God is not just love. Somebody said God is love. God is love. You don't have to worry. God is love. You can be whatever you want to. God is love. God is love. That's true. God is true, wonderful love. But did you know that love is just filled with judgment and filled with wrath? Did you know love is just filled with wrath? Did you know that Jesus, when he turned him tables over, that was love in action? It was filled with the wrath of God. Love destroys. Love hates. Love wrecks. Love tears down. Love plucks up. Not good things, not righteous things, not holy things, but evil things. You know, if a man loves his little child, he will take that little child. If there's a snake laying out there in the grass, and that grass, that snake is about to bite that child, he'll take a rod and beat that snake's head in. That's love in action. Love. See, love is right, but this perverted form of love where evangelists are saying God is love. Do what you want to. God is love. You watch your favorite programs on television. God is love. He wouldn't hurt you for that. God is love. You know, just be what you want to. God loves everybody. He loves everybody. He loves the drunkard. He loves the harlot. No, that's not right. God is angry with the wicked every day. God said, I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. I hate every evil way, he said. God does not love the drunkard and the harlot. God does not love the murderer. God hates them. God will pursue them till he destroys them. What does God then love? God loves his creation. He loves human beings, and he'd love to take that harlot and straighten her out. He'd love to take that drunkard and straighten him out so that he would not be that and she would not be that. He would love to take people that are gullible and covetous and straighten them out so that they wouldn't be like that, because he's going to burn people like that. They're going to perish in the fire. They're vomit in his sight. But if he can get you converted, it don't matter what you was. If he can get that evil spirit off of you and you'll go your way and sin no more, you can be a godly, holy, dedicated person. I love you, folks. God loves you. He wants to help you. But he said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. We might as well come to the realization that God doesn't care for you if you don't care for him. And if you walk contrary to him, he's going to walk contrary to you. And if you resist him in your doings, he's going to resist you in his doings. If you draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to you. You ain't going to reason this thing out. You might as well get that out of your mind. God may have me scream at you today, and he may have me to coo at you tomorrow in the sense of love. You know? But he's going to do it his way. Sometimes God would say, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And sometimes he would say, Get behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of this world, and thou art an offense unto me. God love. See, so God may talk to you one way today. He may talk to you another way tomorrow. And you try to figure it out and you'll wind up in a padded cell. You can't figure it out. You just let God do it. So then tonight, here we stand. We're at church again. What do we come to church for? To talk about Jesus. To talk about the... I've heard these things before, Brother Pike. I know it. But I want to bring them back to your remembrance. So then, folks, let's get our minds straightened out. Let's be like Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. Glad to have David and his wife with us tonight. Hadn't seen them in a good little bit. I don't know whether they've been back up in the Carolinas or not. Love David. Love to see him come in and be Christians. A lot of times, because people don't fit our fancy, you know, we get all upset. We exile them. But I tell you, we can be the biggest kind of hypocrites doing that. I despise to see a man and a woman in shorts. I literally despise it. But nevertheless, there's a soul that needs reaching. It's a sick that needs a physician. The Bible said Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. But for the joys that was before him, he endured the cross. A lot of times I endure things I despise to try to reach a soul. Folks, let's don't be so religious that we can't tell the wicked, the needy about Jesus. Let's don't be such a religious person that we can't eat with the sinners and the publicans. But let's be such a person that loves God that we're not going to go slop with the hogs. And we're not going to get out there with people and sit down and be partakers of their filth and compromise, thinking that we're winning them to God and we're trying to be wise. And that we're some special person that's got cultivated and we're not one of them holy rollers no more. I said, we're not one of them holy rollers no more. We know, you know, that we're living in a different day and this day is modern and you have to wear your shorts and you have to go in the swimming pool. No, you don't know no such a thing. All of that's filth. It was filth back there. It's still filth today. And you don't have to do it. I might say, well, you can't go in the water. I don't know. My kids was in the ocean the other day. And they had to clothes on. And they was having a big time. So I said, Brother Pi, you mean you let your children go in water? Yeah, they do it all the time. In the bathtub, under the shower, in the ocean, wherever they can find it. If I let them go, they'll go. You don't believe it's wrong? No. On a hot day, it feels real good. I usually don't do it, but it certainly ain't nothing wrong with it. Blind guides that strain at a net and swallow a camel. Let's sing a song together. Somebody said, well, I believe in putting on a bathing suit. Well, did you know the first bathing suit covered you all the way from here? All the way up to here and all the way down to your ankles. Some of you know, have you ever seen the first bathing suit? You ever seen pictures of them? That was the bathing suit. So just keep on your clothes and you'll be right there in your bathing suit. You can turn it into a bathing suit. I have went in my suit, had my suit on when I went to baptize. That was my baptizing suit. You don't have to get in a bad way just to enjoy life. Let me say this right here with you folks. Tell me one thing that you have to do in a lewd way to have life. Tell me one thing that God will help from you. Has he kept money from you? Has he kept food from you? Has he kept joy from you? Has he kept laughter from you? Has he kept rejoicing from you? Has he kept breathing the breath of life from you? Has he told you you couldn't go in the water, sit under a shade tree, ride in a car, live in a house, have an air conditioner, get something out of the refrigeration? Has he told you you couldn't have a wife and enjoy human relation? Has he kept any good thing back from you? No. Well, then what is it that the devil has to offer you that allures you and causes you to go out there? Perversion. Everything that God's got, he perverts. And she says, stolen waters are sweet, and you know not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. Perversion. Don't drink the right thing. Drink a little liquor, a little whiskey. Drink a little intoxication, as we say. Something that will intoxicate you. See, just pervert things. Just turn up the wrong thing and drink it. You know, go in the water, just go in the water the wrong way. Be indecent when you go in the water. See, the devil can't give you nothing but perversion. God's given you all things that pertain unto life. God hasn't robbed you of anything. The devil has nothing for you. But you can't have health, happiness, protection, following God and doing it God's way. You can't have heartaches and sorrow and death if you go the perverted way and misuse the things of God. Satan can be defined, principally speaking, as the spirit of misuse. Misuses your car. He misuses your body. He misuses your mind. He misuses your intentions. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. So swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you want to know the truth? Don't you want to tell the truth? Don't you want to cry out against corruption? Don't you want to call evil evil and good good? Don't you want to call light light and darkness darkness? And the Bible said, woe to them that call light darkness and darkness light. Oh, beloved brother, sister, if you believe what I said tonight, if you can incorporate what I said in your lives, little Bethlehem would be different. Your thinking would be different. The anointing would be different. The praises and blessings of God would be different if you'd incorporate this in your life. If you take these real, true, godly things, it seems so contrary. You know, the preachers of today, if they preach a real gospel, it seems so strange to people. They say, my God, he's not in the anointing. Because they've heard such perverted things. And they've got their ideas of what religion is supposed to be and what they think it's like. And what they think Jesus was like. I tell you, Jesus wasn't like you think him to be at all. Can you picture a man? There's Richard the Jew. Jesus is a man of about 30 years old. He got excited. Suppose Richard come in the night and he caught them benches and he flipped them over end for end. Took him a whip and he popped the whip and said, get out of here, you bunch of hypocrites. My Father's house is supposed to be the house of prayer. And here you made it a den of thieves. I'm talking about Jesus now. Are you talking about Jesus? I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is not one of those fly-by-night evangelists that comes in and says, dear children, give me your money. God loves all of you. He isn't that kind of person. It is true that he sat down and called people to his side and said, blessed art thou. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed is the meek, for he shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those people, sweet, loving, and kind. That's true. But on the other hand, he said, why tempt thou me, you hypocrite? Get thee behind me, Satan. Why have you made my Father's house a den of thieves? I'm talking about Jesus now. The sweet, loving, compassionate, kind Jesus. We get misinformed. We get
strong delusions. We get to believing a lie, we'll be damned. We believe in something that's not there. Jesus, that wonderful Jesus, is sweet and loving and kind, that would melt as a candle in your behalf and give himself a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. That same Jesus, when his voice swells and says, "You generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? You better bring forth some fruits that's meet for repentance. Don't come and tell me you're a Christian. Should you bring me some proof of it?" That same Jesus that said, "Thou child of the devil, thou shalt be blind for a season." That same Jesus that said, "Ananias and Sapphira, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost?" That was God talking through them boys. That was God that inspired them boys. That was the voice of the Lord. That was God's voice that said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume these 50. That was the voice of God that said, "I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall." That was God that said, "I'll tear you into pieces. Beware lest I tear you into pieces. I'm angry with the wicked every day." I'm talking about Jesus now. That Jesus that you so misunderstand. Folks, you want to be like Jesus? You want to conform to the ways of Jesus? You can. We'll be closing here in a few minutes. Sunday will be gone. You'll be back out in your world and your mind to do your thing all week long until you get back to church. But folks, let's be real about this thing. Let's get down to business. If this preacher ain't straight and this preacher ain't telling it right, you ought to be a man. And you ought to catch me before I get out the door. You ought to be waiting for me when I get right there. If you're a real man, you'll be waiting for me when I get right there. You'll say, "Preacher, that ain't true." If it's not true. Or else, if you're a hypocrite, you'll go off and I'll get myself a blot. You'll tell it all over town. Your opinion, it won't help me and it won't help the church. It won't do any good. But if it's right and you're a real man, you ought to swallow it down like a man, like a real woman, and say, "My God, that preacher telling the truth. I know he's telling the truth. I know it's right. I know I've been a hypocrite. I know I haven't done right. God, help me to get out of my old wilderness wandering of my intellectual reasoning, thinking I'm somebody and I'm Mr. Importance when I'm nobody. Help me, dear God, to see myself as the wretched one I am. Help me to get away from the foolish ambitions of trying to be something in the world. God, help me to do that. And dear God, help me to stay away from these silly evangelists that's running around like a fox after his tail." Beating the air as one that don't know what they're doing. Don't have nothing in mind. Like a case not too long ago, a man come to me and he was tore all to pieces. He was an outstanding evangelist, well known. He said, "Brother Pike, I need some understanding." I said, "Well, what kind of understanding do you need?" He said, "Well, I gave a man a word of prophecy. And I said, 'Thus saith the Lord,' and thus and thus and thus." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "The man like to got killed. Said he's in the hospital or he's in a dying condition." I said, "That wasn't what you prophesied." "No, it was altogether contrary." I thought, "Yeah, you're the same preacher that I told somebody not too long ago. If you didn't quit messing around with the world and trying to be out in the world and give prophecy and be a prophet at the same time, you're going to get in bad trouble. And here you are, you in trouble." See, get away from people like that, folks. Stay away from that kind of thing. Let's just lift our hands up together. If you have to go out in the world like Daniel to do something for God, if you're sent down to Babylon for the sake of Christ, if you've got a professional position, if God called you to be something out there in the world, great, that's wonderful. Love God with all your heart and be clean and holy. Don't compromise. But folks, don't go running after the world. That's a mess out there. There's some true nurses. There's some true doctors. There's some true professional men that love God, that are clean and holy and upright. God put them in that position. But they didn't go looking for it. They didn't go desiring it. They went to follow Christ and God opened the door. So
Somebody said, well, don't you believe there's some true sportsmen, boxers and wrestlers and whatever? There definitely are some true men that love God that's out there in the sports world. Wrestling, boxing, whatever. But folks, let me tell you something. They're not going to stay in that hog pen. The sports world is a hog pen. They're going to come out of that. As soon as they really recognize God and they see what's going on, they'll come out of that hog pen. Because that's what it is. They'll come back to the Father's house. Because there truly are some God men out there. Even Jack Dempsey, before his death, told Curly, you heard Curly talk right here. I got a paper the other day. They sent me a letter. And Curly, they sent me a letter from California. Curly's in the hospital. It was a newsletter where Curly was praying for Jack Dempsey and that he'd been his sparring partner. And he had Maxie Baron there with him, another famous boxer. Praying, asking God to help Jack and save Jack because Jack asked for prayer. And Jack, understand, put his arm around Curly and said, Curly, said, I'd rather you would be a preacher and do what you're doing than to be the greatest fighter in the world or anything else, Jack said, in the world. And he said, Curly, make me a promise that you'll be at my funeral and that you'll talk to my daughters about God and pray over my casket. And Curly come out of the hospital and went to Jack's funeral when Jack died a few days ago and talked to numbers of people, young people in a school, and numbers of people that gathered because of the Dempsey death and that Jack was such a famous man. And one of the daughters, I believe, gave her heart to God while he was preaching and in tears called a companion. Jack wanted to give his heart to God. He surrendered his heart to God. As to what degree, I don't know. It's between him and the Lord. But you see what I'm saying, folks? At the end of the trail, they realize that's nothing out there. They realize they made a mistake. And instead of looking at Curly saying, boy, you'd be a fighter like I was. He said, I'd rather you'd be for God. He said, that's the right thing. Too late. A lot of times they realize that. Why do you want to go make the mistake that they've made? I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. Someday you'll know Brother Pike loved you and he told you the truth. If a man tells you the truth, he loves you. Even if he has to scream at you sometime to get you to believe it. Sometimes you have to scream at a kid to keep him from falling off into a hole or getting snake bit or whatever because you can't get him to listen. Just about out of hearing distance. Let's just lift our hands together and pray and ask God tonight to help us. I felt like doing this tonight is going to get Brother Jim Kirk to preach to us tonight and talk to us tonight. I really wanted to hear Jim say something, but I felt like God wanted me to do it. I've done it. So there's a reason. God had me to say these things tonight. There's a reason. And say them with the strength that I said them tonight. Folks, that's a mess out yonder. I love Oral Roberts. I really do. I'd love to see Oral serve God. Oral one time was a great figure for God. I thought he was a great, mighty person. But he's made a mess out there now. And whether it's Oral or whether it's Brother Pike, if I ever turn around and make a mess, you need to have enough God about you to say that's not Bible. Because if I see you do it, I'm going to tell you. But don't go hypocriting around thinking you're called to be the preacher and you're called to be the pastor and you're called to decide what's right and what's wrong. Get your Bible and find out. But I wish the man could come out of that. I wish T.L. Osborne could get away from some of the things he's doing. He's got a place out there in Texas that me and Betty went into. It's filthy. The thing is filthy. Statues of nudeness, it's filthy. Coming from all over the world. T.L. knows better than to put any such mess out there. It's a mess. Say, we're making money for God to charge you to go in there. God don't want that kind of money. That's a divided kingdom. He can't stand. You preach, people ought to put on clothes and then set nude statues all around to make money to preach to them to put on clothes. I notice they've gone off in heresy since they've erected that thing. A lot of other men have done the same thing. Somebody said to Jimmy Swaggart the other day, they had him on a show or something. And they told him, he said, Jimmy, I think you're a good show boy. He said, I think what you're doing is a good show. And went on about the things that they was doing. And it really upset, somebody told me, he said, it really set Jimmy on fire. It really upset him. He said he really got indignant and said some hard things concerning the people. Whereas I talked to Jimmy, he's a fine man. I believe he loves the Lord. But Jimmy needs to get straightened out on some things. He needs to preach the truth. He's not preaching the truth. He's preaching part of the truth. He needs to preach the truth. So does old Robert, so does T.L. Osmond, so does all the others that's not preaching it. If I'm not preaching it and in some way I'm evading the truth, I need to preach the truth. God called us to preach the truth. He said, well, don't you believe you of God, Brother Pike? I believe I'm of God. I believe I've got the Spirit of God, the writer said. He said, well, what makes you think that Jim is wrong and you're right? The thing that makes me think Jim is wrong is because Jim is not on the Bible. He's not preaching baptism in Jesus' name. And the Bible said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So, well, maybe he's supposed to preach that, Brother Pike, and you're supposed to preach this. No, that's not right. The Bible said we're supposed to speak the same thing. Either Jim is wrong and I'm right, or either Jim is right and I'm wrong. If Jim is right and I'm wrong, then Jimmy needs to get me straightened out. If Jim is wrong and I'm right, then I need to get him straightened out. Or that isn't, God needs to get us straightened out. And I need to preach till Jimmy gets straightened out. And let Jimmy know that I'm preaching that he needs to get straightened out. And Old will know that I'm preaching he needs to get straightened out. And Till needs to know I'm preaching he needs to get straightened out. Till Larry needs to get straightened out. T.L. Larry was a great man. He's a Church of God overseer right now. Got a tremendous place in Washington. Built a huge place over in Tennessee. But he needs to get straightened out. He's doing worldly things. As a matter of fact, I had a brother tell me yesterday, day before yesterday, said he was shocked at the things that T.L. Larry was doing. He needs to get straightened out. We need to get back preaching the gospel. We need to get back together and preach the same thing. All of us need to preach the same thing, folks. Whatever's right, that's what we need to preach. All of us need to say the same thing. Quit confusing the sheep. While you got your hands up, while God is moving, while you're thinking, then let's invite His presence. Let's get back to worshiping God. Let's get back to having meetings like we had down in Mexico on that service that night. Let's get the praises of God back in Bethlehem. Let's get down to business with God. Let's get God to bless us and God to love us. See, God can't bless us like the Mexican people. A lot of those people are spiritually ignorant. They don't know. God can overlook many of their faults. Whereas you and I know a lot of things about God, and it's required of us. God requires it of us, and He won't overlook it. The wrath of God will come on us. So for us to have that joy and jubilance, we've got to get down to business with God. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. I want to be clean. I want to be upright. I don't want to be mixed up in a mess. I want to be old-fashioned, and I want to call it a mess when it's a mess. I want to call it a light when it's light. Even Baptist preachers, folks. Years ago, Baptist preachers preached like a flame of fire. They had a message. They had something from God. They didn't know no more. They just preached what they knew until many of them got into a mess. Billy Graham's got a mess going. A mess. He's done a lot of good, said a lot of good things, but he's made a mess in a lot of ways too. It's a mess. Trying to mix darkness with light. Somebody needs to speak out against it. Somebody says, you ought to not do that, Brother Pike. Somebody needs to do it. Somebody's got to do it. If you had a physician up here in town, he was killing everybody that went into the hospital, somebody'd have to speak out against him. Or you soon wouldn't have nobody to kill all of them. If somebody doesn't speak out against the mess that they're carrying on, that's contrary to the Holy Ghost and contrary to the Bible, if somebody will speak against it, then they'll corrupt the whole nation and the whole world. And Jesus said, compass land and sea to make a proselyte to form more the child of hell than he at the beginning. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son Jesus, I find no fault in thee, O Lord. I find no fault in thee. or as it was when you stood before Pilate. Thou art the faultless one. There is no fault in thee, Lord Jesus. I've searched thee out diligently through the years. Lord, I've scrutinized all of your ways. I've searched thy ways through the Bible. I've considered you diligently, Lord. Oh, God, in a mind just to find out if it was just the way that you said. Not that I disbelieved, for I believed, oh Lord. But just to prove to those that disbelieved, those that were on the contrary part, to find out the avenues of approach that they would use. Lord, I looked at you as just a man to find out if there were any flaws in your life, any wrongs. And not saying it out of the fear of God, Father, even though I do fear you. Not saying it out of the fear of God, but saying it because it is a proven fact that I've proven in years of research that there is not one fault in your life, in your teachings, in your ways, in the thing that you give the people. There is not one fault. There is nothing that anybody can say and prove in showing you to be in fault. Lord, help me to be like you. Dear God, help me to do the right thing. Help me to speak out against the wrong and to love the right. For thou art my example. I want to follow in your steps. And dear God, here I am before the people. Thou canst not say unto me that thou hast not found fault with me, for I am full of error and mistake. But, O Lord, thou canst say unto me that because of your righteousness, because your blood atones for me, then I'm pure and without fault before the throne tonight because of you. And you find no fault in me, my Father, because of your righteousness and because I reflect your righteousness to you. Oh, Lord, let it be in the life of these people that have come together here tonight. Let every individual find it this way. And, beloved Father, let us not be more holy than thou in that we go to the sinners and the publicans and tell the world about Jesus. And realize our righteousness is of God. But, oh, my Father, that you require our service in conformity to your desire in every way that's possible and with all the strength that we can muster to do it. Lord God, heal tonight. Let it be a genuine healing to where cancer germs die. Let them die, Father. Let evil die out of my people. Let their diseases die and be taken out because of speaking the truth. God, and confirm the ministry with real truth and with real signs and wonders. Oh God, by stretching forth your hand to heal the people, not only in the foreign fields, but here at home, Father. Help my people to have a genuine healing. Let them discover all of a sudden that a real, genuine healing is taking place because of the real faith in God. Not being superficial, not trying to put on a show, but just because they sincerely committed their life in ways to God and believed in His Word, that something unawares took place. And dear God, the cancer germ really died. And they find themselves whole and healthy. Grant it in Jesus' name, my Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. I really believe in what I'm saying because I've seen it work so many times. Give me another key. Go and leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. And leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, the Holy Ghost will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. If your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and you'll have to get along on Mega Fair. Just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave them there. Go and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust and never doubt, the God of heaven will lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Tonight, if you got a problem, you just take it to Jesus and leave it there. I challenge you tonight to believe God. I challenge you tonight to put your faith with mine. And I challenge you tonight to do the things I said, incorporate these in your life and see if the cancer germ doesn't die and see if the disorder of your body isn't corrected. I challenge you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. I challenge you to give it a try. I let my life rest on the fact that it'll happen. It will happen. It will happen. Just lift your hands again. Close your eyes with me. Folks, I want to see some meetings at Bethlehem. I want to come in here and preach some sermons. I want to come in here and tell you about Jesus. I want to see you come in here and love God. I want to see some meetings at Bethlehem where people will praise God and people will get together and love the Lord. God will do it. God will bless. God will help. We're going to have such meetings. God's going to bless. But we're going to have to talk to Jesus before he does.